The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to St. Stephen's Church Online. We're very glad that you're joining together with this branch of the Church to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And since we cannot be physically together, as we have been doing for over a year now, we unite in spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Please join me in today's call to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Jesus, Redeemer and Friend, as you began your earthly ministry, you called to yourself a ragtag bunch of people, and you called each one friend. We are all too aware of our unworthiness, of our neediness, our ungraciousness, and yet you seek us and call us friend. As we come to worship you today, we pray that we have a sense of your loving, merciful heart as you clean us up, make us fruitful, and help us grow step by step into your image. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you have a candle at home for worship, go ahead and light it as I light the Christ candle here in remembrance that Jesus Christ is the hope and light of the world. And because of Easter, his resurrection power lives in all who call him Lord and Saviour. Would you pray the prayer of confession with me? Jesus, friend and brother, you taught us to abide in your generous love, for it completes our lives and gives us joy. You ask us to love others as you have loved us, for it brings your creation to fruition. We sometimes struggle to love the people in our lives as you have loved us. Forgive us, we pray, and teach us your love again. In your name we pray. Amen.
Long ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from God. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus speaks these words to us again today, words of incredible reconciliation. Jesus has forgiven us. He's chosen us to be his friends, to share in his great work of love. This is the good news, and it is ours, friends. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Please join me in saying together our new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the Church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. And it is the part of this book called The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God.
I have spent the last week on study leave, reading and researching about what people are saying about how life in the church might change on the other side of the pandemic. There's a lot of talk about what our new normal might be like, and even more about what new opportunities might have been created as a result of the massive shifts we've had to make over the last year. What is the future that the Holy Spirit is leading the church towards? And even more in my mind, how can we find our way towards that future? Well, there is still much uncertainty in all of this, and for most of us, more uncertainty, especially right now when we kind of seem to be swimming in it. It's not very appealing. But as I have been reading and thinking and praying about this, I've found myself remembering a story from the early part of Acts. It's something that I have always found quite compelling, and I find myself appreciating it even more now. In Acts 5, we read about the very early days of the church in Jerusalem. Peter and the other apostles are on fire. They are preaching and teaching and healing people throughout the city. And the temple officials are growing concerned about this. It's creating an uproar, and probably they were growing a bit jealous of the apostles' growing popularity. So in an effort to stop them, they throw them in prison. Well, that doesn't last very long, because the very night that they're imprisoned, God sends an angel to set them free, and by the next morning, they're back out on the streets at it again. Well, the officials call them again before them and speak to them, rather sternly, I would imagine, and try to get them to stop this. But of course, Peter explains to them they can't. They can't stop. Sharing the story of Jesus has become their call and their mission. Well, one of those Jewish officials, a man named Gamaliel, he calls the others together for a private chat. He reminds them that these followers of Jesus are not the first instance of this happening. There have been others who had come along and stirred things up, and in every case, they have come and gone. And then he says this, He says, leave these men alone and let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, Gamaliel likely didn't really understand the full impact of what he was saying, but it was truly a word of wisdom. If their purpose is from God, you will not be able to stop them. Now, it may sound overly simplistic to you, but I find myself holding on to that fairly firmly right now. In this time when there is so much uncertainty, we can be sure that if we are determined to answer God's call to us, our mission and our purpose will endure. It's really a comforting and a strengthening thought. And it kind of seems to echo some of what we hear Jesus saying in our reading from today. This passage we've heard is part of a larger section from John's Gospel in which Jesus tells his disciples some important things he wants them to remember when he's gone. This larger section is called the Farewell Discourse, and it records his final words to them before he was arrested. Well, in this little part that we're looking at today, Jesus starts by saying that he is the true vine. Now, you may remember that in various parts of the Old Testament, the people of Israel had been referred to as the vine. It was meant to imply that they were people who lived with this inextricable connection to God, a connection that was itself designed to bring life to the rest of the world. Jesus is saying that he is the embodiment of all that Israel is called to be. And then he explains to his disciples that it's absolutely critical that those who follow him remain connected to him, or as he phrases it, abide in him. He explains that it's only through that connection that we will be able to live, and that we'll be able to live out our call to fulfill our part of God's mission in this world. Well, it's verse 5 that actually reminded me of those words from Gamaliel. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Not you may, or even you can, but you will. Jesus is saying that if we remain in him, if he is in the midst of us, in the midst of our lives, guiding them individually and together, then we can be assured that God will be working through us, and there will be good, life-giving fruit that comes through our efforts. It is very like when Gamaliel said, if what they're doing is from God, you will not be able to stop them. Well, as I said, I find this incredibly reassuring and encouraging, especially as we face our immediate future. We may not know exactly what it's going to be like, but we can be sure that if we remember Jesus' instructions to us and we figure out how to focus on abiding in him, as it has for centuries before us, God's mission in this world will continue, in part through our efforts and our lives. Now, it is tempting to think of abiding in Christ as just an individual thing, something that happens just between you and Jesus. And that is partly true. Maintaining your individual connection with Christ is absolutely crucial. It is so important that we each take time to connect with God one-on-one, however that happens for us. It's always important, maybe even more so now, when so much of the way we practice our faith has been altered or even stopped. Well, these practices that we do, things like prayer and worship, serving others, and even our giving, they truly are spiritual disciplines. And they're really disciplines right now, especially because the way we have had to do so many of them has changed. But as different as they may be, they are as important now as they ever have been. And so with Jesus, I urge you to keep at them. Do what you need to do to care for your relationship with God. Abide in Christ. That connection with Him is absolutely essential. And remember that abiding in Christ is not just an individual thing. These verses make that clear, that image of the vine and branches. It reminds us that by its very nature, our faith is both relational and communal. We are a part of something that is much larger than us, inextricably connected to Christ and to the rest of His church. Life with Christ, by definition, is life in community. And it's only in that community, with all of the joys and the challenges that it sometimes holds, it's only in that that we can truly grow into the fullness of life God has for us. Despite the fact that many of us try, and some days it's quite tempting, we can't do this on our own. We're never meant to. As Jesus says, branches must be connected to the vine. They must be tended and nurtured and pruned even sometimes and cared for. It's only through our connections with God and with each other that we can bear fruit and share this amazing life God has for us, a life that truly is life with God. That's part of a big part of what makes these restrictions that we have to live under right now so challenging. We have to find new ways and make a bunch of effort to try to stay connected. And sometimes, in all honesty, the results of those efforts are not all that we'd hope. While we are grateful for technology like this that has made it possible for us to continue to bring you online worship services and for us to be able to meet in study groups online, we do know that it's just not the same as being able to be in a room together, is it? But remember, these are disciplines. And the nature of a discipline is that we choose to do it, whether it's easy or hard. We commit to it over the long haul, because we know that growth takes effort and time. As Jesus says here today, continuing to make the effort to stay connected to Him and to each other in the midst of whatever comes, it just isn't optional. Not if we want to live. It's essential. You'll remember that He was actually giving these instructions to those first disciples on a night when their world was about to be thrown upside down. Not many hours from this, He would be arrested, and the very next day, He would be killed. And after He was resurrected, those disciples' call would be to follow and trust in the Holy Spirit's leading, to live out the commission Jesus gives them, to take up their part in God's mission. Everything was about to change for them. Their future was far more uncertain than anything we face today. And God was about to do incredible things through that small group of Jesus' first followers. Because of what they would do in large part in the coming years, we sit here today worshiping Jesus. We and over 2 billion other people alive in the world today. It's phenomenal when you think about it. It all started with that small group of Jesus' first friends. People who figured out how to stay connected to remain in, to abide in Christ. So on the days when we find ourselves questioning our future, let's try to help each other remember these first disciples. Their lives are our historical evidence that if we are determined to remain in Christ, individually and as a community of followers, as Jesus promises, our life together will continue as well. And we will know the great joy of bearing much fruit. Amen.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Triune God, Father God above us, Jesus God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be part of you, to be branches of your vine, to make our home in you, just as you make your home in us. We pray now for the courage to listen to your words and to live in you fully. Father, thank you for Jesus. How amazing it is to think that we can be a part of this glorious plan, that we might have an intimate and organic relationship with him. We pray for patience and strength to endure and welcome any holy pruning. Father God, we are so grateful for our sore arms, the arms that have received vaccinations. We are encouraged, yet also feeling impatient to be together with those we love. Please give us strength, increase our hope and resolve to finish this weird race that we're in. We pray now for those who are in distress, those awaiting specialized medical tests to see what may be causing their pain and discomfort. Please expedite these tests and any treatment that's needed. For those whose bones are mending and whose internal organs are causing hurt and dysfunction, we ask that you ease the pain and enhance any medical treatments with your healing power. We lift up those whose anxiety and fear interfere with the life of joy that you intended for us. Help them see your loving pathway and that they are never alone. Give them restful sleep, we pray. And once again, we plead for the safety of our people from this insidious disease. For our frontline workers, for staff and students in schools, for all the workers in the stores that we need, for the young and the old and those in between, we beg you for a hedge of protection. We claim Psalm 91, verses 1 to 6, which says, "We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. And Holy Spirit, please keep reminding us of the things that Jesus taught us. And for today, about the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, come. Let's gather around Christ's table. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to do so. All glory and thanksgiving be to you, Almighty God, for creating the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, for making us in your own image, and for watching mercifully over all that you have made. Glory be to you, O Lord. All glory and thanksgiving be to you, our Heavenly Father, for redeeming us in Jesus Christ, your only Son, who took our nature upon him and in obedience accepted death, even on a cross, who by your power was raised from the dead and was exalted forevermore. Glory be to you, O Lord. Therefore, with all creation and with all the company of the redeemed, we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O God Most High. Eternal God, King of heaven and earth, the life and death of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we proclaim. His resurrection from the dead and his ascension we confess. His coming in triumph we await. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Wherefore, O Father, we set before you this holy supper, following his command, who on the night in which he was betrayed took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body for you. Who in the same way took the cup, saying, This is my blood of the new covenant. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive all power and wealth, wisdom and might, honor and glory and praise. And now, Almighty God, we pray you send your Holy Spirit, that the bread which we break may be to us the communion in the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless, communion in the blood of Christ, that being built up in love, we may be strengthened in the unity of the faith and come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And hear, O God, in union with our Lord Christ, who gave himself for us and the world, and in fellowship with the whole church in heaven and on earth, we offer you ourselves to be a living sacrifice, praying you accept us with this our worship of praise and thanksgiving. This we ask, trusting in the eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, who, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto you, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. Please join me in saying together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please, I invite you to consume the elements in the places where you are. Let's say together our prayer after communion. Life-giving God, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring new life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free. And all creation will live to praise your name. Amen. I want to thank you once again for your faithful giving to the local ministry and mission of this congregation, and to thank you as well for your gifts to the United Church Mission and Service Fund, gifts that help to support their work that happens both here in Canada and around the world. Let's pray together now to dedicate all of these gifts to God's work. Pour your Spirit upon these gifts, O God. Send them into the world as a sign and song of your joyous work of love. Use them to call and welcome into your house of love all who are your friends and our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, remain in Jesus Christ. Like branches from a vine, draw life from him. And may God the vine grower tend you and make you fruitful. May Christ Jesus abide in you and give you life. And may the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with God's love. Amen.